I have no idea what gave Ian the idea that I would like I Saw the Light. And I was really sorry I had dressed in my gingham shirt and my blue jeans tonight. But praise the Lord. I'll tell you who enjoyed it. That wee row of women there. They really enjoyed it. Because they were still talking about it after we finished singing it. So I'm going to look tonight for a short time about a new thing with God. And whenever we come into the presence of God, and you may not believe this, but I believe this. Whenever I come into the presence of God, I believe that I should leave here a different person than I was when I come in. Because if I come into the presence of God, who is holy, who is almighty, we were hearing about Father God this morning, powerful word this morning about Father God. If we come into the presence of that person, God, then our lives, every one of our lives, should be totally and absolutely changed, should be affected at least by who God is and what God can do in our lives. So one of the things that we're not good at, many people are not good at change. Some people don't like change. Sometimes change can be a difficult thing for many, many people. So I like my own wee way, and whenever I'm comfortable doing what I like doing, I'm happy enough with that. But whenever change comes along, change can sometimes affect us. And, you know, for example, some of you have changed weight over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you're very busy in the process of trying to change back to the weight you were 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's difficult change. It's easier putting it on than it is getting it off. But change is a necessary part of life, because if we don't change, if life didn't change us, if we were born and didn't change, we would all end up as wee babies. We need to change. Out of necessity, we need to change so that we can become better men and women of God, men and women who find a relationship with God, people whose lives are transformed by the power of God, that we can affect the lives of other people who need change in their lives. I was so blessed. Last Sunday morning, I was speaking. Oh, I come from a Pentecostal background, like, that's why they sung I Saw the Light tonight. And everybody thinks Pentecostals are not organized. But we are organized. It's chaotic organization, but it's organized nonetheless. But I've noticed since coming here, everything's very nice and organized. So I was speaking at Dunloy and Gary Duff Presbyterian Church last Sunday morning, and I was under the impression that I was just speaking. I was on the Saturday night, got an email giving me the order of service. And I thought, why in the world would they be sending me an order of service? I don't need an order of service. But actually I did, because it turned out I was leading an all. And I have never, ever, ever led a Presbyterian church meeting in my life. Like, it was bad. And if that wasn't bad enough, I had to give a children's talk. And I would far rather talk to a group of alcoholics and drug addicts as talk to children. That is an absolute nightmare. So I worried myself sick about it all weekend, because I bet I'm going to talk to these children. But I was blessed. I was blessed up there, because I was doing a series up there over on a Wednesday nights about evangelism. And attending one of the meetings was an 82-year-old woman. Now, that's the first thing. It was so encouraging that an 82-year-old woman was coming to a course on evangelism. How crazy is that? But what was even more encouraging was that this 82-year-old woman was only saved when she was 78 years of age. And she done everything that 82-year-old women do. She baked cakes and she knitted. Some of you do that. Some of you men maybe even do that, I don't know. But she baked cakes and she knit it. And she came to me at the end of the evangelism series, for she was at every meeting, and she says, I have learned something, she says. I never thought that I could do evangelism. But she says, I have learned something over the past number of weeks. And I says, what is it? She says, it's this. Whenever I reached somebody a cake or give somebody a wee thing I had knit for them, they always said to me, why do you do that? And I says, well, that's just what I do. She says, from now on, when somebody says to me, why do you do that? I'm going to say, because Jesus loves you. She has found a niche as an 82-year-old woman that she could present her cake or her wee piece of knitting to somebody with a message that Jesus loves you. And to me, I thought that was really powerful. We're going to be reading out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. It's only a couple of verses. You can turn to it or not as you like. Isaiah chapter 42 and verses 18 and 19. A well-known portion of Scripture, but it talks about change. So it does. No, it's not. 43. Well, as I say, Pentecostal, what can I say? Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. See, I was transferring from this Bible to this Bible so that you would understand it, because this is the real Bible. That's the New King James Version there. So I was transferring. 43, 18, 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now, of course, it's a good thing to remember the past. It's good to remember the good things of the past, but the context of what Isaiah is speaking about here was that the children of Israel at this point in time were in a really, really bad place. They weren't in a good place. This was a very bleak chapter in their history, one of the many bleak chapters in their history. They were in a place of captivity. They had lost absolutely everything that they perceived that they had lost absolutely everything that God had promised them. They weren't experiencing the blessings of God the way that they thought they should be experiencing the blessings of God. But they had walked out of the will of God. They had again failed God and let God down. And this was a really bleak time. And I'm sure that they weren't really interested in Isaiah coming with these words of motivation, which they basically were. And sometimes whenever we're in a bad place, one of the last things in the world we need to be is beside somebody in a good place. Do you ever come into a meeting in a bad form and you're just down, you're just down, there's something wrong in your life and you're just down? As sure as an eye and a goat, you get sitting beside somebody who's in really good form. Now, that doesn't make you feel better. That makes you feel worse, because they're in good form and you're in bad form. And the people of Israel at this time weren't in a good place. But Isaiah was coming with these words of motivation, and God was going to change things, and God was going to do things, and that they were going to have to learn to adopt this new change and adapt themselves to the change that was taking place. And change is not always a bad thing, folks. Sometimes we need to stop looking behind us and start looking ahead of us. Sometimes we need to move on into the new thing that we have in Christ Jesus. We can't continually look at the past, and particularly we can't continually look to the failures of our past. We can't allow ourselves to be controlled by our past. And if we were being honest, sometimes that's what we do. We allow ourselves, We allow the past to control us. We allow things that happened in our life maybe years ago to control us even now. Sometimes people who, I've talked to people who don't even feel worthy to be born again Christian. They don't even feel worthy to know that God loves them. Their life is in such a mess. They can't see any worth within themselves. And how they don't see any worth within themselves, how can God possibly love them? We can't allow ourselves to be controlled by the past. And it's very true that the children of Israel, although a great nation, had failed God on many occasions. Absolutely and totally failed God. Even when God blessed them, they failed God. Even when God was good to them, they failed God. God gave them a temple. Gave them a temple, a place of worship, and they turned to idol worship on occasions. God gave them the commandments, and the reality was that more often than not, they lived as they like. God gave them prosperity, and sometimes the children of Israel were really harsh to poor people. They didn't deserve the things that they received, as you and I don't deserve what we receive from God. But God loved them as God loves us. And your failures and my failures they might be, but they never stop God loving you. Do you know that you can't stop God loving you? Do you know that you are loved by God? Do you know that you can't be loved any more than God loves you at this minute? God cannot love you any more than he loves you right now because you're loved by God. And what an amazing thing. So listen to Norman's word this morning. Exactly, listen to his prayer this morning. He mentioned that in his prayer, that God loves us, that we are loved by God. That God simply loves us because of who we are. And sometimes people need to hear that. Even as Christians, sometimes we need to know that. Because you know something? There's not very many of us in here who are perfect. Not very many of us. In fact, I would take it a step farther. None of us are perfect. Every single one of us have failed God in some form or other. Every single one of us have let God down. Did that stop God loving us? Absolutely not. And one of the wonderful things, you know, the talk about, sometimes you're talking to people and they believe that type of grace is a license to go out and do what you want to do, when in fact it's the opposite. That love and that grace and that mercy that God bestows upon us actually draws us closer to God, that we no longer want to do the things that we do. Last time I was here, I shared about the light and the flamingo, didn't I? Didn't I tell you about the light, didn't I? Yeah? No, I'll tell you again. You obviously weren't listening. There's a saying, the closer to God you get, the further away you feel. Many of you were ever in the flamingo ballroom. Put your hands up so I can see the age of some of the people in here. Was there nobody here ever in the Flamingo Ballroom down this side? Not one of you. Got you. In the Flamingo Ballroom, they had ultraviolet lights. Isn't that right? They were a curse. Because you went out and you were all clean. Isn't that right? You were there. I saw you. You were there. You're all clean. You're on a nice jacket, man. Nice jacket on. And in those days, you wore wee flannels, pair of slacks and a wee jacket and pointy-toed shoes. And you were dancing around the flamingo. But every now and again, you come below one of these ultraviolet lights. And you looked at your jacket. And it was bogging. Absolutely bogging. Because the ultraviolet light picked up every wee spot of dirt on your jacket. Every wee bit of fluff. And that's what it's like to be in a relationship with God. You see, I didn't see any dirt in my jacket. But the closer I got to the light, the ultraviolet light, the more dirt started to show up. And the closer we get to God, we sometimes feel further away because the Holy Spirit is simply revealing to us, there's a wee thing in your life just isn't right. There's something you need to deal with. There's something you need to sort out. There's something you need to take, and you need to begin to put that right. I'll still love you. I'll still care for you. I'll actually see you through this journey. But I want you to come with me through this journey. And God will take you by the hand, and he'll lead you from what's wrong in your life or in my life, and he'll bring us right through to what's right. See, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. God wasn't condemning them for their past because there was absolutely nothing that they could do about it. Instead, he was holding out a hand of hope to them. He was giving them hope, giving them an opportunity to start over, a new beginning. Maybe that you're here tonight and you've been looking for a new beginning. You've been looking for a new start. Many of you ever read the Mandy comic? Put your hands up there, see. Many men ever read the Mandy comic? I used to read it. Goodness knows what they'd be calling me today, but I used to read it then. My sister used to get it, so she did. And in the Mandy comic, does any of you ever remember a story about a girl called Valda? No! He's never studied this book. Valda was a beautiful girl, long black hair, and she wore this pendant around her neck. You probably remember this. If you ever read the Mandy, you'll remember this. She wore a pendant around her neck, and she used to, if she didn't get enough, if this pendant didn't get so much sunlight, she would immediately start to grow really, really old, really, really quick. You remember this, Trevor, you read it. Really old, really quick. So every now and again, she had to go to the top of a mountain and hold this pendant up to the sun, and that rejuvenated her. And I was only a cub at the time, I have to tell you. And I remember thinking, wouldn't that be great to have this eternal youth? To have this eternal youth where you didn't grow old and everything was good. And you'll not believe this, but whenever I found the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that story actually came into my mind. Because Christ wasn't offering me eternal youth, as you can see, but he was offering me eternal life. And eternal life is better than eternal youth. Eternal life is something that you and I can all get from giving our lives to Jesus. We can all live in this place where we can know with an assurance that we have eternal life, that no matter what happens, that no matter what takes place tonight when we lay our head down in the pillow, no matter what happens, that we have eternal life if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise, what a message that the word of God speaks regarding eternal life. And sometimes people are held back by their own self-condemnation. They're held back by their own sense of not being worthy, of not knowing God's love. Because God's love is something special. God's love will change you. God's love will transform you. You know, there's a problem with all this. We have to want to be changed. God loves us. God loves us so much. God loves us just the way we are. But he loves us so much, he doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He wants us to be changed. But the problem with that is, that isn't it true, that sometimes we don't want to be completely changed. It's like, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you for doing this, that, and all the thing in my life. But do you see this wee bit here? I just want to hold on to this wee bit here because I don't really think that's doing me any harm. And I'm just going to keep that. That's like when I get saved, right? When I get saved and I smoked for quite a wee while after I gave my life to the Lord and I decided I would give them up, I kept a cigarette in my pocket for nearly a year. A cigarette, one cigarette. Can you imagine the state of a fag after a year? One cigarette. I carried that about in my pocket for 1 year in case I needed it. How stupid's that? But we like to hold on to that one wee thing sometimes. And that wee, one wee thing could be a relationship. It could be job. It could be anything. One wee thing that we like to hang on to. I used to be, my wife's here, so I'll be careful how I say this. I used to be a very angry person. I'm not an angry person anymore. I was a really angry young fella, really angry. And whenever the Lord saved me, my whole life changed, but I was still angry. Until I come to a point where I realized that God wanted to take my anger, but I wasn't willing to give him my anger. Because do you know something? It suited me to be angry. It suited me to be like obnoxious and angry and hateful. It suited me because in doing that, I had a wee bit of control. And sometimes we don't hand everything over to God because we're frightened of God giving to God complete control. But God requires complete control. God requires the wee thing that you might think is a wee thing because wee things have a tendency to grow into big things. God has a requirement that we give those things to him and that we hand those things over to him. Do you really want to hand that part of your life over to God? Will change be part of that process? Will you allow God to change you? Will I allow God to change me? But in order to receive all the great things that God has for us, we'll never receive them until we're completely submitted to God. I know that I was withholding the blessing of God from me by withholding God's freedom in my life. I wasn't allowing God to set me free. And this new year, I was speaking here back in September, and I was talking about, I mentioned the new church year. It was a great time. I loved the new church year because there was a whole lot of plans and excitement with the building out here, which is great, and there was plans and excitement. But a new year is even better because we're stepping into a year that we haven't lived through it yet. Most of us will not have made any major mistakes in the last few days. And we have a new year and a clean slate and something that we can build on. But a new year with God, an opportunity to come to God at the beginning of a new year and saying, Lord, let us make this work this year. Let my life be committed to you this year. Give me a passion and fill me with your spirit and make me on fire for you. Let me be like that wee woman of 82 who discovered at 82 that she had a ministry simply by saying, Jesus loves you. Simple. So simple. But profound. Amazingly profound. God-given opportunities to be the man and woman of God that he wants us to be. It's still up to you and I to decide to release ourselves into that. One of the greatest blessings for me is to lead a soul to Christ. I love leading people to Christ. Actually, I would ask you to remember tomorrow morning. I got a phone call last night, or text last night, asking me to go to see a man tomorrow morning. He's a crook. He is a crook, but he wants to talk tomorrow morning about God, about the things of God. He's looking for prayer. And I'll not miss my mark, believe you me. So it's a great blessing leading the soul to Christ. But do you know what's an even greater blessing? I was speaking at a church in Nazarene in Desert Martin a few months ago. But prior to that, I was in Garva, and there was a group of men from the church in Nazarene in Desert Martin. And during a period of that night, nine of them come to me and said, "Do you remember me?" "No." 30 years ago, you led me to Christ." "Do you remember me?" "No." 28 years ago, you led me to Christ." That was all missions in Desert Martin we had. These people had got saved 28 and 30 years ago.